As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pug and Cop Boxing Show. This is Mike Coppinger, my co-host Lance Pugmire, not available today, but we're going to be joined by one of the most bombastic personalities in boxing, super middleweight champion, Billy Joe Saunders, who's here to discuss his upcoming fight against the pound-for-pound king, Canelo Alvarez, on May 8th on DAZN. And Billy Joe is going to get into the X's and O's of the fight and much, much more. So if you haven't already, please subscribe, like, rate, review. Now, let's get into the show.
Let's get ready to podcast!
Lance Pugmire.
If you're going to go stick your head in the sand like that, get out of the sport.
Mike Coppinger.
It's creating a huge mess. It's absurd.
No, you're wrong. So,
it seems like a cash grab.
You need to turn up and you need to be on it.
We just started going at it.
You got to go eat.
The Pug and Cop Boxing Show on The Athletic.
Billy, thank you so much for joining us. First off, I know you were supposed to fight Canelo last year, and obviously the pandemic got in the way. Now, a year later, does a year change anything? Do you feel more ready now?
Do you know what it is? It's one of them. I've always been mentally ready for Canelo, but now I've got the perfect opportunity to be 100% physically, along with mentally ready. But, you know, I'm one of these, Mike. I hate talking about fights, you know, when people's got other jobs in hand, because I remember that Golovkin was supposed to fight Andy Lee before me, and they was just going to, you know, walk through me, then fight Golovkin, and he was going to sail off into the sunset, and, you know, that didn't pan out. So, listen, Canelo should deal with Yildirim pretty convincingly. Hopefully no injuries, no strains, no niggles, no pulls. And, you know, the job's a good one, but, you know, I'm physically, mentally, I'm ready for it. It's the biggest fight of my life. It's been my dream. It's been my dream since a kid. You know, this is what dreams are made of. And I can make my biggest dream come true here.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. I mean, there's no doubting that Canelo is not only the biggest star in the sport, but he's also the pound-for-pound king. A win over him and, you know, your life has changed overnight, right?
Yeah, look, I've got 36 minutes to change my family generation's life. 36 minutes. And, you know, a lot of people underestimate me. A lot of people look out on the inside. Now, I know the Alvarez team are very clever individuals when it comes to boxing. They're very shrewd. They're very clever. You know, but I've got to where I've got to by by my own boxing brain, by my own thinking. And you know, this has got to be, this tactic has got to be bang on the night. I have to have the bestest night I've ever had. I respect him as a fighter. And you know, he's done great things for boxing. The same as Joshua, Fury, him. You know, they're the face what's put boxing on the world global map. And I just feel privileged now that I could be one of those future stars, you know?
Yeah, and certainly you have the personality to match that. We've seen how bombastic you are. You and your buddy Tyson Fury always causing quite a stir during fight weeks. How much of a part do you think that's going to play, all the antics that lead up to the fight and making this in way bigger event than maybe even Canelo's used to, outside of Golovkin maybe?
I just think that, you know, Canelo's obviously seen it all before with Mayweather, You know, there's no bigger personality and talker than him in the game. He's seen it all before. So, look, my main concentration is to win. I'm not thinking about anything else. The only thing I'm going to bed dreaming of is the belt and the win. Not money, not anything else, not fame, not to be noticed globally, not to be known, not to be seen, known, heard of. I'm going to win. I just want to win. I want to win and go home. But I'm not just going to turn up there like certain other fighters and you know, just give him my belt. That's for sure. Look, I can handle if someone, boxing's boxing, right? If somebody's better than you on the night and they beat you fair and square, you shake their hand and you be a sportsman in this sport. You know, but there's something inside of me that I know has never come out. Never come out. And I can feel it. I can just, even in training now, you know, I'm 13, 14 weeks away. It's just the excitement is just, it's just, you know, it's just, it's hitting me every second, every minute. So this hopefully comes with no injuries and we get the fight on and we see you. Listen, I've done enough talking over the years. I've talked the talk for years. Now it's time to walk the walk. You know, there's no talking anymore. You know, the fight's done. I don't know if it's signed on. I don't know if he signed the contract on his half, but, you know, it's done.
We'll be back right in a minute after we hear from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, and you know, to your point about you think you have more left in you, we know that, you know, fighters need someone, another great fighter to bring it out of him, and you have never faced a guy like Canelo Alvarez. And so I'm sure you're excited, like you said, to find out what you have inside you.
Mike, I'll tell you this. You bring an average sparring partner to me, I spar average. Yeah? People have seen it, and this is the reason why people know with me, and I know myself. You bring a world elite athlete, and I've sparred cruiserweights, light heavyweights, and I won't mention names because I don't sparring is not fighting, right? But big names in the UK, extremely big names, when they come, they get their ass handed. It's I raise the game, and I know I need to raise my level 10 levels now. Whatever level, how far my lift can reach to the top floor, I need to take it. End of. Because I need to. You know? And the focus, you know, my mind, you know, I've got a big thank you, obviously, to my advisor and that for even making this fight happen, because at one stage I thought this, you know, I'm never going to see my true potential, because I thought I'm never going to get someone in front of me. I want to see somebody in front of me, what they do, where I don't know what to do. Can I find my way? Can I find a way to win? Can I get past that jab? Can I get past that hook? Can I get past that backhand? Can I get past that uppercut? Is he going to set me up for a shot? Am I going to set him up for a shot? This is a game of chess. This is a game of chess. This is a game of, this ain't, this is not going to be an entertaining stand toe to toe, knock lumps off each other, because that's not my style. My style is I'm going to make it as awkward and possible as I absolutely can to beat that man. I'm just hoping I'll get a fair shake of the dice and let people see what I can do and let my fist do the talking, let my boxing brain do the talking, you know?
Yeah, and Billy, to your point, we see this in sports with American football where some NFL teams play down to the level of their competition, and we've certainly seen it from you, right? Like, you You didn't have the best night against Arthur Akhovov, but then you turn around and two fights later against David Lemieux, who's a much better fighter, and you pitched an absolute shutout.
Do you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
I've looked at every one of my fights, every single one of them, and I look at them and think, shit. Even David Lemieux. When I was walking to the ring when I was fighting David Lemieux, there was a lot of talk of me fighting Golovkin. And when I was doing the ring walk, I was thinking, this is still not Golovkin, though. This ain't Golovkin. And I was walking to the ring thinking, this ain't Golovkin. Like, I wanted Golovkin at the time. I was fit, in shape, superb shape, long camp, good camp. Everything went right. Everything's got to go right again now. Look, I'm not a man to make excuses. Please God, I have a beautiful camp and I stay injury free. And I wish the same for Canelo Alvarez. I hope he has an injury free camp too. And we get it on and, you know, people rave on. But there's one thing with me is that I bring that gypsy art. To beat me, he has to nail me to the floor. He has to put me to sleep. Because if it's getting hard for me, trust me, I'm going to make it hard for him. He's only human. He's not invincible. He's not superhuman. He's a super fighter, but he's not super. He's just not invincible. And a clever boxer, you know, he invites people in with tricks. And I've seen it all before. You know, I've been 18-year-old. I was in the Olympic Games because I use my brain. You know, when I revert to using my brain when I need to use my brain. You know, I'm not saying I am the best fighter, you know, that this world's ever produced. But what I am saying is I can make it very and extremely difficult and give me a fair result for Canelo Alvarez. And I believe I can come away undisputed champion.
Yeah, I always thought it was unfair, Billy. Billy, leading into the fight with Callum Smith, where people were saying, oh, Callum, Billy, doesn't matter. Same thing. And, Callum Smith was just kind of like, as Floyd Mayweather would say, straight up and down, no special effects, right? He was just standing right in front of Canelo.
Look at the facts. They put no weight clause on Callum Smith because they wanted him to be big, heavy, strong. They wanted him to be big and heavy, flat-footed, and Canelo likes coming in low and shooting up high. He loves fighting taller guys. He loves it because he's nice and low. He's got lovely head movement, beautiful feet work, nice sharp hands, and he can shoot from low to high. And it's hard for them to get to him. Yeah. And when they come in, he sets about the body. He always maintains his own distance, his own comfort zone. Now, I'm not going to let him be comfortable. I'm not going to let him get comfortable. He won't better get comfortable and take a little breather when he wants a breather. Because I will take a chance to get knocked out when he wants a breather. And I will stick it on him. I will stick it straight on him. He has never met a gypsy man before with an art like me. That's for sure. And heart don't win you fight. Brain wins fights. Your thinking, technical thinking. My technical brain is certainly not two notches or three notches below any boxing brain on the universe. You know, I've got a brilliant boxing brain when I use it at 100% capacity. And, you know, I've been watching, I've been studying, I've watched him from day one. And I've always knew our paths would cross one day. From day one when I turned pro, I always knew me and his path would cross. And here we are. And I believe, and I'm a very, very big believer, what's meant for you will never pass for you. And I believe this is my time. This is my time.
Yeah, Billy, you talk about being a gypsy and what that means, the fighting heart. And, you know, everyone knows you're good buddies with Tyson Fury. And we've seen his unbelievable self-belief going into the Wilder fight the first time off the weight loss, somehow getting off the canvas in the 12th round.
What a lot of people don't know, when he got the phone call to fight Wilder the first time when he was out of shape, inactive, fat as a pig, his dad, his trainers, everybody was against it. Said no. But me and him know each other, like the back of our, me and him know each other inside and out. And I said to him, Tyson, you will beat him. Just don't get hit in one of them big shots and you've won the fight already. It's a dare to be great move. And he went to me. Before he got the phone, he went, Billy Joe, I'm taking the fight now. I'll talk to you. Now, I wouldn't give advice. I wouldn't give the same advice out if I didn't think I could do it myself. You know, people can say what they want about me. He don't live the life. He don't do this. He blows up big. I've got 14 weeks to train to win a fight for 36 minutes. I've only got 36 minutes. I've boxed since I've been five. For 26 years. If I can't find on the biggest night of my life a perfect 36 minutes to the absolutely best of my ability, Billy Joe Saunders, then I believe that beats anybody on the night. And if I don't, if he's a better man than me, then I'll shake his hand, the same as I say to all my opponents. If you're a better man than me on the night and you beat me, I will congratulate you. You know?
But absolutely.
What I want, that's all I want, I want a fair shake of the dice. It must be fair because winning's everything to me. And if I was to win this fight and not get the decision, you know, I don't know if it would do my head mentally. I don't know if I'd go off my head and have a breakdown. Because where I've put so much into this, this means more than my own life to me to win. If you say to me today, Mike, and I promise you, and I put my right hand to God, you say you're going to win that fight, Billy Joe, but you're then, when you get out of that ring, you've got 15 minutes to live and you're dying, I'd sign up to that now. I want to win that bad. I'm not coming here to make numbers up. I'm not coming there for money. That's not my style. That's not my style at all. You know, I haven't got Canelo's money, but I've certainly got enough to feed my family for the rest of their life. That's for sure. Yeah? They never go to bed hungry. I'm not coming for money. Money comes with it. I'm coming to win. I need to win. I have to win. There's no other option for me. There is a zero in my own brain. There's no other route, Billy Joe. You're on this path now. It's a sink or swim. You're drowning or you're swimming back to shore. That's it. I have to win. I've got to win. And I just want a fair shake of the dice. I know he's a big star, but look, Anthony Joshua was a big star and they made extremely big money for the rematch when Ruiz beat him the first time. So hopefully if they be fair, I'll beat him and the rematch is there. It's going to be a bigger fight again. But I'm aware of the job in hand. I'm aware of the job. I'm totally aware of this job in hand. I'm not looking at thinking I'm just going to get fit, go in there and just do what I do and get the win. No. I am very, very, very aware of this job. Very aware. Yeah.
Bill, yeah, when you're talking about fighting down to the level of opposition, I mean, is this what you've needed all along to like feel like, all right, you know you're fighting the best fighter in the world and there's no other guy, you're the underdog, everything's on the line?
But I am the underdog. And every time I'm the underdog, I prevail. But there's one thing I would like to say, and I'm not picking faults in Canelo's career because he's done more than I've ever done. You know, he's done brilliant things for the sports. He's won numerous world titles. But, and here comes the but, he's boxed all of the greats and he's beat all of the greats at the end of their careers. His team's very good at picking people at the end of their careers. They're very, very good at picking people just that on the down spiral. Now, maybe I look like to them, they maybe see my fight against Murray, against, I don't know, the one before that, and think, do you know what? He's on a down spiral. No, my friend. That's because I haven't got the fire in my belly to get up for them, because I could beat them with 2 or 3 weeks' notice training. You know, I can beat them losing 20 pounds of weight and coming back down and beating them, because I know in my own brain how good I am in my own brain without blowing my own trumpet. But on this side of the thing, I know that, you know, my life for the next 3 months is absolutely hell. I'm putting myself through hell and back. And I'm prepared to live in hell every single day to win, you know. So to win this for me, dad, he's put all of his life in me. This is so passionate for me. Forget about the money. I don't care about the money. Money do not interest me. I need just to win. I just want to win. Keep the money. As long as I win, if I win, I'll give the money to, you know, I'll give it to the family. I don't care about that. I want to win. I need to win. And it's a must thing for me to win. Winning's a very big, important thing in my life. And, you know, if I did win, and I believe I can win, then, you know, I can probably sit back and say, well, I've beat the best. What else is there for me to do apart from the rematch?
Let's take a real quick pause here as we hear from one of our sponsors.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I mean, yeah, I mean, this has got to be everything a boxer dreams of, right? It's a massive fight in the U.S. with a big audience. The world's going to be watching. And I'm also interested in, you talk about your boxing IQ. Canelo Alvarez hasn't fought many southpaws. And when he has, he's had a lot of issues. He had a lot of issues with Austin Trout in 2013, a southpaw. And then again in 2014 against Arizondi Lara. A lot of people thought Lara won that fight. How much problems do you think Canelo's going to have with your southpaw style?
There's things in that fight that those opponents, especially Lara, done very, very good. But the main ingredient they left out, the main ingredient to finish off that meal for 10 out of 10, they left out. They left it out. I know boxing just as much as Canelo Alvarez does. Listen, when Alvarez was learning his trade as a pro, you know, just coming through, he was fighting pros, novices, you know, journeymen. I was fighting the best in the world at 17, all around the world, all around Europe, and beating them all. My talent and his talent, you put talent for talent, there's not a flick of the coin in talent for talent, both 100 million% fit on our day. But I know my game plan, I'm sticking to my game plan, and I know and I believe in my game plan that it's going to work. I know it's going to work. Canelo's not invincible. He's been beaten before by Floyd Mayweather. And I know Floyd Mayweather is a great. He's an absolute great. But you look at Floyd Mayweather. He didn't raise the tech. He didn't go out a million trillion miles per hour. He didn't run around the ring. He didn't run and make 100 miles up in the ring. You know, he was very clever how we dealt with him. And you have to be clever with him, because if you're not clever with Alvarez, you will get knocked out. Simple.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing people are really overlooking with this fight. Obviously, you're not saying you're Floyd Mayweather, but we know what he did well in that fight, and you could do a lot of those things too. Standing in the pocket, great head movement, making him miss, amazing footwork, that southpaw jab, and just being elusive and making him pay.
Well, look, me, obviously, Floyd Mayweather, I would never compare myself to Floyd Mayweather, because I'm probably one of his biggest fans ever. And I love what he's done, and I love watching him. I love his style. I love what he does. But he didn't use his strength. He didn't use his fitness. He used his brain. Brain over brawl. And Canelo Alvarez is probably the most exciting fighter in the world. But that says it all. When he's in an exciting fight, people love to watch him because he loves to be in exciting fights and knock people out. Did you think the Floyd Mayweather fighting was that exciting? No, it wasn't. But did Floyd Mayweather beat him every round nearly? But also what done me is that it was still a majority decision. It was still a majority decision. So, you know what I mean? In my own head, I'm pushing now for my advisor to say, look, let's just keep it, do what you can. And I know my advisor is keeping it as fair as possible for me to get the win.
Billy, when you mention your advisor, obviously you're referring to Daniel Kinahan, and you've been very outspoken on Twitter, on Instagram about all the accusations against him and how special your relationship is with Daniel. Where does that relationship stem from?
Well, Daniel Kinahan is a very personal good friend of mine. And he's done every single world title fight for me, done the deal for every world title fight I've had and every fight I've had, even the Eubank fight when he wasn't advising me, he still helped me in every single way. And I can do nothing but thank Daniel Kinahan for doing so. There's a lot of bad stigma following his name. There's a man there that they've had a 20-year investigation on saying that he's murdered 20 people. Why isn't he in prison? Why isn't the government or the police arrested him if he's done all this? Obviously, the man has. The problem is, in this world, the higher you are up in this world within, you know, business, how he's done, he's a very, very clever businessman. You know, he's worked for fighters for years, you know, and not many years. And people don't like how shrewd and smart he is, and they just want him out of the game. Anything happens in his home country, and he's fighting in a completely different country, running a legitimate business, then he gets the blame for. If someone takes a shit on Dublin Street in Ireland, it's Daniel Kinahan. You know, what does me is, it's frustrating because I've banged on, but that man's done so much for me, and I owe him a lot. And to win and to say, look, here we go, we've done it together as a team, you know, that would mean a lot to me. He advises me, he's the one who's gave me the best advice without being robbed by anybody. The reason why people don't want him in the sport and don't want him because all of these fighters, they don't get robbed. They get looked after and fed and tracked fairly. And that's the reason why everybody, world champions, all go to NTK, because that's the only management company in the world that don't rob the fighters. Well, I shouldn't say that's the only management company. I shouldn't have said that, but from my own experience, you know, I've looked at everything. I've talked to fighters. I've listened to what fighters said about other management companies, and other people's been looking after them. And everyone wants to earn money, and everyone's got to be looked after. That's obviously goes without saying. It's business, but everything is 100% fair, and he's never, ever, ever, ever once ever told me something that's not going to happen. And if he did, he'd always say, look, I'm not 100% sure. So I'm not going to say 100% sure, but when he tells me 100% sure, I know it's done, because I got that much trust and belief in him. I would pull my heart out of my body and say, you look after that. That's how much I trust that man. And he's a good man, and he helps a lot of people, including cancer patients. You know, people got nowhere to live, you know, feeding people. He does a hell of a lot that people don't know about. And people should really, really welcome in the game, because with him in the game, fighters would be a lot better off. Fighters would be a lot better off. So he's done a hell of a lot for me, and I'm ever so grateful for it.
Billy, thanks again for the time. Good luck with training and in the fight, and we'll see you in May. And if you're not already, you can follow Billy Joe on Twitter at @BJSaunders_ and on Instagram at @SaundersBillyJoe. And that's going to do it for today. We'll catch you next time here on the Pug and Cop Boxing Show on The Athletic. And remember, if you haven't already subscribed, you can do so at theathletic.com/PugandCop.